This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Now, there are a few things less inspiring than having to cook for yourself. The temptation is to pop a ready meal for one into the oven or even call for a takeaway. But Signe Johansson has produced a whole book to try and persuade those of us who can't be bothered that there is joy in cooking for one. And today she will cook the late night miso ramen. First of all, Signe, why did you choose this recipe to demonstrate?
Good morning, Jenny, and thank you for having me. Well, to be honest, it's Friday, and I figured a lot of people would be going out on the weekend, and most of us probably come home after an evening on the town, and we think, oh, I'm a bit hungry. I might have a packet of crisps or something to munch on before I go to bed. And actually, I've sort of trained myself over the years to not do that, as much as I love my salty snacks. And the late night miso ramen is kind of a substitute for that sort of urge for something, you know, something salty, something a bit kind of just to settle your stomach before you go to bed if you've had a couple of drinks. And it's really delicious. It's quick to make and it's far more nourishing, I think, than a packet of crisps.
We have a lot of ingredients on the table.
We do.
So how do we start making your late night miso ramen?
Okay, so we start with, well, it helps to obviously have the noodles. So we've got the noodles and we've got a pan with some water on the boil. And I'm going to pop the noodles straight in so they're nice and hot. Now, the great thing about ramen noodles is they cook in 2 to 3 minutes. So they're very fast cooking. I mean, this is effectively...
They're quite thin ones, aren't they?
Exactly. They're very thin. They're sort of like almost vermicelli-like. And it's effectively a kind of glamorized instant noodle, pot noodle. but a little bit healthier, I think. So we're just going to pop the noodles in the hot water and let them do their thing for a couple minutes. And then essentially it's just an assembly dish. So it's about whatever you've got in your freezer, in your kitchen, and you're lurking in your cupboards. I always have some sort of vegetable, like a carrot or something, or some frozen peas in the freezer.
What's this at the front here?
So this is a little Japanese seaweed strips called nori. And they're really delicious. They're very high in umami, so the sort of very savory flavor. And the Japanese use them to garnish all kinds of dishes. So, for example, if you imagine sushi, very often has the green seaweed strips holding it together. And this is also used in ramen.
So that's dry, is it, at the moment?
Yes, or, that's dry, yeah. Exactly.
So you would pop that in after the noodles?
So that goes in just at the end as a kind of final flourish.
And there's garlic, broccoli?
Yes. So there's some garlic. I'm not going to add that today because it is still the morning, so it might be a bit too intense at this stage for a bit of... But, you know, if you're feeling a bit
very
low,
unpleasant for anyone, I meet at lunchtime.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But if you do love garlic, I mean, I love garlic, but if you're also feeling a bit, you know, under the weather and you feel like you need some fortification, a bit of garlic can be added to the broth. It's a really good way of just adding flavour and, yeah, if you're a garlic fiend.
Okay, well, let's continue talking while you continue making the miso, because I'm looking forward to it. What actually inspired you to write about cooking for one?
Well, to be honest, Jenny, I've cooked for myself for almost 20 years. I grew up in a family who loved food, and I To be honest, it's just one of those things that I love to do to restore and to reset. You know, it's a way of looking after myself when I've had a hard day at work, or, you know, when I was studying as a teenager and be stressed about exams. It was just a way to kind of step back from everything and do something constructive without, a sport is the other thing that I would do to kind of keep me grounded. And cooking was just a great way to, you know, play around in the kitchen, be a bit creative, but then also eat something delicious at the end of it.
Now, most cookery books would say a recipe would serve four mm-hmm. or six.
Yeah.
So how would you construct from such a recipe a meal for one?
Well, it's a really good question. So a lot of cooks struggle to scale down from recipes that serve four to six. That's a constant complaint that I've heard over the years from people who don't necessarily, you know, if they're living as a two-people household or a single household. You know, something like a third of UK households now are single-person households, and it's not really realistic to say to people you should be cooking for four to six. You know, that's quite unusual these days. So actually what you have to do is reset your thinking and say, okay, what are the kind of ingredients I have in my kitchen, and how can, you know, is there time constraints? Am I feeling exhausted by work or by the pace of life? That's how I construct my dishes, rather than taking a dish for four or six and scaling it down. I think it's much easier.
Is there anything actually really wrong? Because I have to say, I have done this when I've been on my own. I cook what I would have made for the family, four of us, mm-hmm. and I put three portions in the freezer, which is actually quite useful when you come home one night and you can't think what to eat, and you take one of your portions from the freezer. That's okay, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, I'm off. In fact, there's a chapter in the book on, you know, batches, like batch cooking. I know it doesn't sound very, very exciting, but to be honest, it's an economy of effort to make batches of things and then putting it in the freezer for later use. It's actually a really pragmatic thing for any cook to do, whether they're living on their own or not. I do it all the time. And sometimes people, they sort of get a bit, they get their heckles up, the idea that if you're on your own, you should cook large amounts. Well, to be honest, if you're making a dal or a bolognese or something, or a stew, it's very hard to make small amounts of those kinds of things effectively. And to get flavor into them. And it's, you know, by the time you've gone to the effort of making one portion, you might as well make four or six and then freeze those portions that are left over.
Yeah, I've got three portions of bolognese sauce at the moment in my freezer.
Me
waiting,
too. I always keep that in the freezer.
And you do have, do carry on, because I think the noodles are done now.
So they are done. So what goes next is we have essentially, I'm just going to check that they are, yes, they are cooked. So we have, we've got some miso, so the Japanese miso paste, which is, I'm just looking for it, there it is. I have a little dollop of miso. So I'm just going to add that. You can add it at the end, but I quite like to just fold it in with the noodles, so it's not in big clumps at the end if you put it on top in the bowl. So it's just nice to stir it through so it's evenly distributed. Miso, of course, is fermented bean paste, and it's a staple of Japanese food, and it's widely available in UK supermarkets, so it's very easy to track down nowadays. And it just gives really good flavour to so many dishes. It's vegetarian, so it's great for people who don't have meat or fish in their lives. But I was going to ask you, actually, if you like chicken stock, because I like to add a little bit of chicken stock to my miso.
Chicken stock is fine by me. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Pop
good.
Some chicken
good.
Stock.
Good. I'm very pleased. Okay. We're going to add a little bit of chicken stock for extra flavor. And then we've got some carrots. I've got some grated carrots. You could do frozen peas. You could do broccoli. You could do any manner of just green vegetables that you have available. So it's just one of those things where
the seaweed go in?
So the seaweed goes in right at the end as a kind of garnish more than anything else. I'm just going to do
I'm thinking healthy, through. You see. I know seaweed is very, very
it's
good
very topical,
for you.
Yeah.
You do have a section of what sounds like the lazy option to me.
Okay.
Things on toast.
Yes.
Why?
That is the lazy option. Whenever I teach cookery, or I've sort of talked to people about why I did this book, one of the things I always say is that actually you have to think a little tactically as a solo cook. And by not having toast in the morning, which I actually rarely have toast for breakfast, I actually find that I can leave myself a bit of flexibility later on in the day, and I'll have things on toast in the evening or for my lunch. And it just gives you that bit more kind of backup when you're feeling a bit tired or stressed or just harassed generally by life. But yeah, I love things on toast. I mean, I grew up in Scandinavia, and of course we love our bread. We have a huge love of bread in that part of the world. So things on toast are definitely a standby for me whenever.
Now that pan is going into a bowl.
Yes,
it's done already.
It is done. It's very, like I said, it's very quick. So I've got a soft boiled egg in the bowl. which I'm just going to crack in half so that's ready. And then I'm going to try to do this without spilling all the soup all over the table. There we go.
Gosh, there's a lot of it.
There's quite a lot.
I could feed a whole family on that.
Well, I'm a greedy girl, so this I would definitely polish this off. But you could do half portions if you're not terribly hungry. You could obviously half this one. I happen to really love noodles, and it's winter, so we need some carbs. We need some energy to sustain us.
We do. I'm going to taste that.
Yeah. I'm going to do the final garnish for you.
During the cereal, you finally garnish it. Put the seaweed on, because the seaweed is important.
Yes.
I want the seaweed. I will taste it, and I will report on it at the end of the cereal.
Excellent.
If that's all right with you. So, Senior Johansson, for the moment, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Senior, it is absolutely gorgeous, and so quick and so easy.
I'm so pleased to hear that.
the flavour is perfect.
Thank you.
It's delicate.
Thank you.
And you say you eat it when you've been swimming as well, not just late at night.
I do, yeah. I have it at all times of the day, but it's quite a nice alternative, I think, to the packet of crisps. It's, but at post-swimming or any exercise, it's really fortifying.
Well, I loved it. Thank you for providing my lunch. And there are various people out there looking at me saying, don't eat it at all. We want some. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.